Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength on behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Clarissa and Rebecca, for the intercession and reading. Let's open in prayer as we start this word this morning. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for this morning that we can come to you. Thank you for sustaining us, that we can hear your word in singing and worship. Lord, as we lay down our cares this morning, just speak to us. May your spirit convict us and help us to see you more rather than of ourselves. Lord, we surrender everything to you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I was in the Bible college, the school assigned every student a mentor or a staff where they could guide, encourage, and pray for the students. So this is Lloyd and Sherry, taken from 2014. I was still 28 years at this time, single. And they were my mentors when I was my first year until I finished my Bible college. They've been a missionary in the Philippines for almost 15 years, and I was blessed and encouraged by their lives. And one thing that really encouraged me was I often saw them praying at the corner. They will just go to that corner and pray. Every time they heard something bad news from the students or from the ministry, they will just pause for a while from their work, from their table, and they will just be in silent and pray. And it really makes me think a lot that they gave time in prayer and asked the Lord. And one day, I was preparing the staff in the Bible school asked me to prepare his materials because I was an intern at that time. Lloyd and Sherry asked me if I could join them for a quick prayer, and I was like, is there something wrong again? Or is there, we need to do it now for prayer? And they said, like, we need to pray now. We just receive a message from other missionaries. They really bad, so we need to pray. So we prayed, and back in my mind, like, Lord, I was convicted. I just want to focus on my work. But then these people asked me to pray for a couple of minutes. And it challenged me more, that habit of prayer. So this morning, you already know what I'm going to share. It's about prayer. But this is not about my prayer. But we can see that in a book of Psalm in chapter 86. And we can see here David's prayer. And there are two things that we might learn from this text. And maybe you've heard this psalm from another sermon who really explains well, deep sermon. But this morning, let's try to see what David is really praying. David is asking God's mercy. We can see that in verses 1 to 7 and then verses 14 to 17. And David is trusting God's sovereignty, verses 8 to 13. Now, if you look at the text carefully from verses 1 to 7, if you have your Bible, if you have a paper with the verses, with the scripture, from verses 1 to 7 and skip to 14 to 17, they're almost the same message, the same content. And David was saying, hear me, answer me, guard my life, have mercy on me, bring joy to your servant, hear my prayer. And then when you go to the last verses, he will say, turn to me, have mercy on me, save me, and even asking, give me a sign. David is asking God's mercy. And it's very obvious that with this kind of statement, we can see that he was in desperate need of God's mercy. And he keeps on repeating those words because he knows that his life is in danger. He's looking for protection. Why? Look at in verse 14. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Oh God, ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. We cannot specifically point out which scenario was this, but we know when we studied the life of David, there were enemies that trying to kill him, knowing that he was an anointed king, the Messiah will come out from his generation. And we know also that he disobeyed God. Yeah, he disobeyed God. And he cannot escape from the consequences. But one thing that we can see here this morning is David is simply asking God's mercy for three times. In verse 3, in verse 6, in verse 16, have mercy on me, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. Have mercy on me. Sounds like David really knows God where he can run and ask for help. And interesting to learn here, he's begging for mercy. He's really begging the Lord, like, Lord, give me that mercy. But before we continue, let's define what is mercy for the sake of others. Like, what is mercy all about? I understand mercy, but can we just try to define them? What is mercy? Mercy is the compassionate treatment of those in distress, especially when it is within one's power to punish or harm them. The word mercy derives from the medieval Latin merced or mercis, which means price paid. It has the connotation of forgiveness, benevolence, and kindness. Mercy is often used in religious contexts of giving alms, caring for the sick or the poor. In legal sense, mercy often refers to compassionate behavior from a person in power, such as when a judge shows clemency, leniency, or mercy during sentencing. But here's the biblical definition. Mercy appears in the Bible as it relates to forgiveness or withholding punishment. Because David knows that there's something wrong, and Lord, have mercy on me. Withhold your judgment against me. Therefore, David is confident in asking God's mercy because look at in verses 5 and 15. Yes, Lord, our forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. David knew God's nature, God's character. He is not only just, that he can give justice. He is not a holy, he's not only holy, who punishes the wicked and disobedient people, but he is also forgiving, good, abounding in love, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and faithful. And David is confident in asking mercy because he had a relationship with God. Look at in verse 4. Bring joy to your servant, Lord. He knows his position. He is a servant of God. There is a relationship. And when we pray to God and ask for his mercy, we need to be sure that we know to whom we are praying, especially in times of trouble and pain.
Because if we do not know God's nature and character of who He is, of what He can do, when problem comes, doubts and fears will start playing in our mind, and it's easy for us to act in our flesh rather than asking God's mercy in the first place. We should ask the Lord first instead of running ahead, because it will determine how dependent are we to God. David's life is at risk, and he's asking for protection. He really in need of God's mercy. Maybe we cannot relate to it. Probably we are in need of God's mercy because we are facing health problems. Or maybe we cannot relate to David because we feel secure and I'm fine. I'm okay. My life is good. But let me tell you, do not put your confidence in the things that you feel secure and safe in this world. Remember, all things in this world are temporary. We do not hold our future. Do not forget what COVID has done to us. Probably some of our loved ones died because of COVID. They were just fine on that week, and then the following week, he's gone because of COVID. People kept on praying and praying for protection, asking for mercy for those in critical situations, comfort for those who have lost their family and friends and their loved ones. We became prayerful when there are times of problem. David keeps on asking the Lord, and look at in verse 3, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long." Can you try to picture it out? If you have your kids crying all day long, "Mommy, Daddy," he's getting the attention. David is, "Lord, look at me." Tim Keller, who just passed away earlier, and he said from one interview, and I quote, "I never want to go back to the prayer life I had before cancer." That's interesting. He really thought that he had a good prayer life. And when he broke, he had cancer and bring him to another dimension, he realized that his prayer life was not very good. "I'm okay, I'm fine. I cannot relate to David." But the moment you go to bed, the moment you go to the hospital, what's in your mind and in your heart? "Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me." But if fine, everything is fine, we forget God completely. We are encouraged this morning that we can come to God and ask for His mercy anytime, and not just when we need Him. We ignore our prayer time easily and feel lazy doing it. Life that is full of prayers are powerful. What do I mean? We can stand and continue to persevere despite of all the trials, all in persecution in our lives. We do not easily give up. Instead, we push ourselves to pray all the more in good and in bad times. Why? Why is that? Because we can put our trust in God, who knows all things, and even He knows what lies in the future. The same with David. When we look at the scripture, David is trusting God's sovereignty. He don't understand. Maybe, "Lord, you're not listening to me," or I don't know. But he's trusting God's sovereignty. How do we know that? Look at in verses 18 to 13 in your Bible. He's declaring that God can do marvelous things. He's a great God compared to the small God, small letter G. And all the nations will bow down and worship him. It's in the future tense. Meaning, David put his trust in God, who can do all things. He cries to the Lord because he knows that only one true God who holds the future, and only one God can save him. And only God can do it. What's the proof? Because he experienced the power of God. Look at in verse 13 in your Bible. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. David understand God's nature, his great love that rescued him from the eternal death. And the more he put his trust in the Lord, because only God can do it, he was rescued from deaths and the realm of dead. Interesting to learn that when David trusts the Lord, relying on the Lord, in other words, this is not about him anymore. What I'm saying is, he surrendered everything to God and allowed God's hand to work on his situation. And we, same for us, and we should not doubt, even when times of praying. The moment we pray to God, do not doubt it, or else we are not trusting him. What's the purpose of praying and you're doubting, Lord? Really? Do not do it on your own way, not my own way. Look at in verse 11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. He is not trusting his own way, but asking the Lord to teach him, asking God to change his heart so that he may fear God's name. Fear in reverence, in awe, putting God's name on high, not what I have done, not on my achievement. And when we ask God to teach us, that's a matter of heart issues, because we have pride. There's something wrong inside of us. We cannot fully trust God if there's something wrong in our heart. And when God is teaching us, we need to be sensitive to it. We need to realign our hearts before him. We need to fine-tune so that we can understand and follow his instructions. Anything that does not please to the Lord, start, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. This is not pleasing to you. Like a pilot, the difficult part of a pilot is when they start to descend and land on the right runway, especially if the weather is not good, like heavy rains, thick clouds all around. Pilots will contact the tower, and he needs to trust the instructions of the officer inside of the tower, or else they will end up in a very dangerous situation. Imagine you cannot see the runway, thick clouds, but you are listening from the instructions from the tower. When we pray, let's put our trust in him. Allow God to guide us through his word, through the work of his Holy Spirit, and not based on our emotion. Yes, sometimes we trust our intuition because we've experienced a specific situation that we know what will happen. We can foresee the result of this. Oh, I know what will happen to this. Yeah, I already told you this will happen. Yes, that will really happen to us. But when situations are overwhelming and we do not know the solutions at the moment, ask the Lord. Put your trust in him that he will speak to you clearly so that you will be guided to your next step, and allow him to correct the conditions of our hearts, because sometimes we are just praying in our mouth and not from our heart. We utter words of prayer, but deeply we are doubting him. I'm not so sure if he will listen to me. I'm not so sure if this will work. I'm not so sure because it looks impossible. Remember, God sees the real condition of our hearts. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Meaning, there will be peace in our hearts, that no matter what will happen, God is still in control. And if we do not submit to him, if we will not trust in the Lord, Remember, our flesh is very impatient and critical to the point that we start doubting, blaming all the bad things, all the hurts, and starting to grow cold and will never pray anymore. Lord, I'm done. I give up. All the pain, all the hurts inside. Yes, David said this. I did this to you, Lord, so please answer me. David said, I am faithful to you. I'm your servant. I cry for mercy. You should answer me, Lord. Yes, we could see the very heart of David, that he's in a desperate time. And sometimes we are like this. Lord, I am serving faithfully to you. I did this. I do that. And Lord, please listen to my cry. My brothers and sisters in Christ, before we open our mouth, He sees and knows what's inside of our hearts. There are times that God is teaching us to trust in His power, His Spirit, His Word, all the more so that we could see Him. Because the more we understand of who He is, if we understand the God's nature and God's character of who He is, it will change our perspective of God, of who God is. He's not like a genie, like you were just rubbing and will come out. He's not a lucky charm. He's a person. He's a true one living God. We are all in the process of changing our lives to be like Jesus. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect here, especially in our prayer life. We have failed God, but there is always a chance to restore the joy in praying. And God is withholding. God is withholding His judgment, for He is good and compassionate. Revive your prayer life. Ask His mercy. Trust in Him. Jesus set an example to His disciples. He did not fail to pray to His heavenly Father. And even before He will be crucified on that night, and according to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 41, He withdrew about from the disciples, knelt down and prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done. And being anguished, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. We pray to God not because of my will. We pray to God because His will be done. Jesus sweated like drops of blood because He was in anguish, in great pain. But remember that the blood sheds on the cross saves you and me from the condemnation of hell. God, the Father in heaven showed mercy on us when He sacrificed His Son. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love for us while we were still sinners, and Christ died for me and you. For the rich, for the poor, for the young and the old. And yet, He did not remain in the tomb. After 3 days, He was resurrected because death could not hold Jesus. And that's why we worship Him, because He is alive. And that's our comfort. Even though our life isn't messy, we don't understand the things going around us, but we have a comfort. Our God is alive. We have a living God. We can come to Him and ask for His mercy. If this is your first time joining our Sunday service today, I encourage you, it is not too late to come to Jesus and ask for His mercy and His forgiveness. Put your trust in Jesus, who can save your soul. Start praying. Make that habit of prayer. And for the rest of us this morning, let me leave this question, just one question, as you go out from this place. How is your prayer life? Personally, I'm struggling also. it's not easy at all. It's not a guarantee that I pray all the time because I work as a full-time church worker. No, you are wrong. I am guilty as well. Yet, we are encouraged this morning to pray even more. We need God's mercy to help us and call His name even more, because whether we are in good or not, we can come to Him. Let us ask the Lord to restore and rekindle the joy in prayer, to give us an undivided heart and teach us His way. No matter what will happen in our lives, God will walk through us. Just simply put your trust in Him. He's an ever-present in times of trouble, and He is listening to our cries, even in the midst of pain and suffering. We have silent tears. People doesn't know our pain and tears, but we can come to Him. No matter what happens, I will praise You, Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Your name forever. That's the challenge for us, that we continue to praise God. Put in our hearts that I will glorify God forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Father, thank You for reminding us. Thank You for sustaining us through Your grace and Your love towards us. You are compassionate. You are good. You are a loving Father. And Lord, sometimes we failed You. We are guilty. But Lord, You open Your arms to us, Your hands to us, so we can come to You. And we cry to You deep of our hearts. And there are no words to express our pain. There are no words to express our suffering. But You know, Lord, You are listening to every cries that we have. Thank You for the comfort that You are a living God. Help us, O Lord. And as we go through this week, no matter what will happen, You are our God. And I will praise You, and I will trust You, and I will give glory to Your name forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.